Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, March 3rd, 2010 here, middle of the week, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to the weekend, Pauhana Friday, and a nice, relaxing weekend, we hope. We hope. A lot of stuff to talk about today. First of all, leading off here, the load average on the What Really Happened server is much better behaved today. I did a lot of work on it last night. We did, in fact, identify some known hacker botnet IPs, and we've got those blocked right now. So we'll see if things will behave throughout the entire show. Also, as you probably are already aware, the Spanish authorities arrested three guys running one of the larger, more aggressive botnets used to send out spam and Viagra ads and, oh, you got to buy this stock right now kind of stuff. And apparently, they were renting their botnet out to other hackers, so no doubt the authorities are now trying to find those people who were renting the botnet for their nefarious games, and so probably all of the hackers and botnet operators are lying low right now, and that may be explaining why the internet seems to be behaving a lot better today here. So anyway, getting on to the important stuff here, Othman's in the control room today. Our phone number is 866-582-9933. Karen Tostado is going to be calling us in the second hour with an update on the national strike. This thing is really picking up steam. There are so many angry Americans out there. They're looking for that last possible peaceful way of expressing their dissatisfaction with the government and the corporations. We're all trying to find a peaceful way to effect a change. Unfortunately, we're confronted with that quote from John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And those are incredible words of wisdom that both these gentlemen used to say just before they got gunned down in cold blood. All right, now, moving right along here, news from Texas. Ron Paul has won the congressional primary in Texas in a whopping landslide, 80.76%. If the GOP had any brains at all, and I say that as a lifelong paleocon Republican myself, if the GOP had any brains at all, they would grab Ron Paul and run him because he will win. They won't do it because the GOP doesn't have any brains. What they have in place are greed. They have greed. They want Israel's money. They want money from the insurance companies and from the pharmaceutical companies, and they're not actually going to put somebody in office who might actually want to see some money in this country flowing back to the American people. And so, you know, congratulations, Ron, and I hope you run for the White House in 2012. I hope you run in 2016. I'm going to support you. Period. End of discussion. I think all America will support you. The only thing between Ron Paul and the White House are those fraudulent, rigged electronic voting machines. We have got to get rid of those. Probably, you know, when we take those hackers they just arrested, you know, we ought to waterboard their computers slowly and make them watch. We ought to do the same thing with those electronic voting machines. Those things are just, they're a disaster. They're stealing the country. All right, I want to talk about the economy. The economy, the news is all bad. Forget what the TV is telling you. Forget what the government is telling you. It is all a load of USDA choice bovine excrement. They are lying to you. They're fibbing to you. Remember, this is the same government told you Saddam had nukes. This is the same government said you were all going to die of when pigs fly flu. This is the same government that told you the world is getting warmer and it's all your fault. It's lie after lie after lie after lie. And the biggest lie right now is the economy. State revenue tax collections are continuing their downward trend. The economy is shutting down right in front of your eyes. When they say the tax revenues are falling off, what it means is there's nothing left to tax. There is nothing left to tax. Arkansas is in serious, serious trouble. Indiana has had to revise downward its state budget for the 17th time because the tax revenues are just collapsing. You know, they 3 months ago, Indiana predicted, you know, we're going to take in this much in tax money, and it actually came out $85 million less. Just in the 3 months, they had an $85 million shortfall. Folks, I mean, the bottom line is you cannot tax a people into prosperity. You can only tax a people and a state and a nation into ruin, and that's exactly what's happening right now. We are being taxed to death. literally, financial death, corporate death, business death, the ability to compete with the rest of the world death. We're being taxed to death. As I've said before, the economy is like the engine in your brand new pickup truck. And some of the engine's energy needs to be taken up, keeping the engine itself running. And then you put load in the bed and on the trailer hook. And you send that truck up the hill to do some real work. And if you keep adding load and load and load, and that's what taxes are in the economy, it's a load. And when you put too much of a load there, and there isn't enough left over to keep the engine running, it starts to stutter and stall, and that's exactly what's happening before your very eyes right now. And the smart driver is going to take some of the load out of that truck bed so the truck can go faster and get more work done. Unfortunately, we don't have smart drivers in charge of the government. Their attitude is, grab more, give me more, 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 more. Got to have more, 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 more. San Francisco workers, 15,000 San Francisco workers are probably going to get their pink slips this Friday. Now, they're going to try and rehire some of them back for part-time work. But really, if you've built your whole financial structure on a full-time job and all of a sudden you're cut back to a shorter work week, which means a lower paycheck, means you're going to start getting into trouble. You're going to start losing your money. You're going to start losing your home. You're going to start, your savings are going to evaporate. Told you we had a family friend. She's out of money. Can't make the mortgage on her place anymore. She's being approached by all these, the scammers are out there in full force right now. You know, give us money. We'll train you for a career in radio. That's the one that our friend, the teacher in Los Angeles, fell for. And it's a shame to see it happen because these people took her for the last bit of money in her bank account, saying that they were going to get her a job at a radio station. I'm the host of this show. I don't get any money. The people in the control room at GCN, I don't know what they're being paid, but it's probably not enough for their technical skills. Nobody gets rich in radio unless you're a paid propagandist like Pils Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or one of those people who get tons and tons of money because their job is to sell you the wars. So, you know, there's a lot of scammers out there and you got to be careful about it. Now, down in Los Angeles, along with my friend, another 5,200 Los Angeles school employees, including teachers, they're facing layoffs. Everybody is running out of money. It's grinding to a halt. New York State cuts their revenue estimate by $850 million for the next 13 months. They're having to cut that kind. Those kind of programs are being cut. Let's see. Louisiana. They're down there saying, well, you know, we're not collecting enough taxes. Go out there and flog the serfs harder. That's the only problem. You're not going out there and grabbing all the tax money that we're owed. That's his solution. Go out and flog the serfs harder, get more money out of them. I'll tell you the real problem. I will tell you the real problem right now. The states have been relying on the official U.S. government labor reports to estimate, calculate, what they think their tax revenues are going to be. The federal government says we have 9% unemployment. Okay, therefore our tax revenues this year will be 90% of what they were last year. Little fudge factor for the fact that people are making less money than they did before. And that's what they're basing all their estimates on. And they're consistently coming up wrong. Why? Because the government is lying about the unemployment. Even ABC today was sort of hemming and hawing and saying, you know, it doesn't make sense for the government to say the unemployment figures are dropping while we're hearing from payroll processing companies that payrolls are being slashed. You can't have it both ways. If employers are paying fewer employees, then the unemployment figures have to be going up. What's going on right now is that a lot of Americans are running off the end of their unemployment benefits. So the federal government doesn't count them anymore. They're fudging the figures to try and make it look like it's not that big a problem. And because it's the official figures, the states are all saying, okay, these are the numbers we start with, and they're wrong. And that's what's going on here. All right, we're going to take a break for some commercials. When we come back, we've got a caller waiting on the line. We're going to talk about the economy. It's really bad out there, and the government is trying to blow smoke up your orifices to convince you otherwise. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
to What Really Happened Radio. Call Mike now at 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got Leo in Massachusetts. Aloha, Leo. Welcome to the show. Where in Massachusetts are you, just out of curiosity?
In the Republic of Cambridge.
Yeah, know it well. I was born in Boston, actually, and love to walk the Freedom Mile every time I get a chance to get back there. What's on your mind today?
I was just thinking about how can we have a class action suit against the news media for not reporting the news? Like,
you
can't.
I've heard nothing.
Huh?
You can't. There is no law that says the news media have to be truthful or comprehensive or honest with you. That was the result of the lawsuit, what was called the Fox News bovine growth hormone lawsuit, where you had, these reporters were literally ordered to remove part of a news story on the synthetic bovine growth hormone where there was serious health problems in people who were using the products from those cows. And they were ordered to take it out and make it look like it was this most wonderful benefit to society that had ever been seen. The reporters refused. Fox News fired them. The reporters sued for wrongful termination. And they lost when the appeals court said that because there is no law that the news media has to be truthful to the American people, that the news media have a legal right to lie whenever they want to, and more to the point, they have a legal right to fire anybody who works for them who refuses to lie when told to do so. And that was where that lawsuit wound up.
Where can we find a direct text of that decision?
Just go out and Google Fox bovine growth hormone lawsuit, and you will find all the information. It's out there. I'll tell you what, at the end of the show today, I'll hunt it down and put a link up at whatreallyhappened.com. The server is really behaving very well right now, so we seem to have gotten past our hacker
really
problem.
The really important question is... Is any media coverage of the latest attack on Gaza I hear that the Dubai is suing to arrest Netanyahu because of the assassination.
They're treating it as an act of terror, as well as they should. When you go into somebody else's country and you murder people, in order to sow fear among your enemies, that is an act of terror. Now, Netanyahu's not going to get arrested. At the very least, he'll simply stay out of countries where Dubai has any kind of jurisdiction. And, Great Britain just basically changed their laws to say that any terrorist anywhere in the world that's on their territory can be arrested, or any war criminal, unless it's from Israel. Israel gets a special exemption. Now, here in the United States, you couldn't do that because that would technically be a bill of attainder. But in Britain, they can say, it is a crime for you to do all of this unless you're over here, then it's okay. So that's kind of what they're doing.
Can you post that one, too?
Yeah, I'll put that one up there as well. Just one thing to keep in mind. We don't need a class action suit against the media. All we have to do is start ignoring them. And it's already working. They're losing their advertisers. They're losing their revenues. ABC just had to shut down all of their news bureaus across the country. The only one they've still got open is in Washington, D.C., because that's all their job is to do, is to take the press releases from the government and read them to the American people. And the American people are turning it off. They're coming here to the websites. They're coming here to the alternative media. They're listening to Alex Jones. They're listening.
Maybe we have to hammer the last few advertisers they have into, you're supporting this type of garbage. In other words, I'm not going to buy your product.
No, go ahead and do that. I mean, they're dwindling rapidly. What we're waiting for is for them to realize that the future of information flow in the world is right here. The blogosphere and the alternative media, we're waiting for those big money advertisers to show up here. They're not here yet because they made their big money on the basis of lies, like global warming and swine flu vaccines and bombs and bullets and stuff, and they're trying to find somebody in the alternative media who will peddle the same lies. And what they don't understand is it's not a question of old media versus new media. It is the American taxpaying buying public are sick and tired of the lies, and they're going to go where they think they're going to hear the truth, which is right here. Alex Jones show, my show, all the other GCN hosts, they're coming here. Our audience numbers are going up.
Now, it's interesting that we're having this sort of a quiet revolt going on. And maybe that's the best way, because that could be much more pervasive than making an ass of yourself and try to really challenge them head on.
Well, I think the time has come to challenge them head on. And on that comment, Leo, we got to let you go because we've got Karen Costato on the line, and I want to get to her. Karen, aloha. Welcome back to the show. What is the latest update on the national strike?
Well, we are challenging them head on, but we need everybody's help to do this. Thank you for having me, for taking my call, Michael Rivera.
Not a problem. Anytime you call in, we're going to put you right on the air just as soon as we can.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want to let everybody know that the huge news, the really good news, is that we have now been fully endorsed by Bob Schultz. And Bob Schultz from We the People Foundation, from GiveMeLiberty.org, and also from the Articles of Freedom.us. Bob has been resisting tyranny against the government and documenting all of their violations for over a decade. And what is so important now is that we have the delegates from Continental Congress 2009 on our side. They are in every state. And we are able to say now, strike and sign for freedom. Because what the gentleman was just talking to you about, I'm familiar with that case with the RBGH growth hormone and the whistleblowers there at Fox. And it's another example of how we're not getting the news. But here, right in the Declaration and Resolves, just to give you folks a little teaser, if you have not gone yet to the Articles of Freedom.us, which are very important, it says, the Declaration and Resolves of Continental Congress 2009, in defense of a free people, the time has come to reassert our God-given natural rights and cast off tyranny. Let the facts reveal, the federal government of the United States of America was instituted to secure the individual rights of our citizens and instead now threatens our life, liberty, and property through usurpations of the Constitution. Emboldened by our own lack of responsibility and due diligence in these matters, government has exceeded its mandate and abandoned those founding principles which have made our nation exceptional. And folks, you need to take that to heart, because as well as really coming together to reassert ourselves, it is empowering to begin to take action. And these Articles of Freedom have unfortunately only been signed by 3,941 of us. And that's only because we haven't gotten the word out yet. Now we're on 44 days. 44 days to sign and strike for freedom.
All right. Well, listen, this is really important. I think what's going on here, and I'm going to get right back to the economic news. I know we've got one more caller ready to go on the line that we're going to have to take after the commercial break. But this is really important because I think what's happening now is people look at the economic situation and they're reading the news and they're seeing just how much the official government story is diverging from reality. I think most Americans are, the scales are falling from their eyes, they're losing their denial, and they're realizing that the government is not an integral part of the nation anymore. It's become parasitic, it has become oligarchical, and it's of no use to we the people any longer. And, you know, Karen, thanks an awful lot. If you want to call back in again hour two, that's fine. Otherwise, call us later in the week. We're going to stay on top of this thing. It's time for people to get angry. This may be our last nonviolent expression of unhappiness with the government that we're going to get a chance to do. All right, we're going to take a break here for some commercials. We'll be back with Kay in Oklahoma after these words from our sponsors.
Listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right to the phones. Kay in Oklahoma. Aloha, Kay. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I will admit I'm not the smartest thing in the bunch, but as the movie Protocol, Goldie Hawn said she graduated in the top lower third of her class. I found out because of the fact that I was born at home, and the midwife did not do my birth thing, and I did not get a birth certificate until I was 16 years old when I needed a driver's license. Okay, that's one thing. And then another thing is when I went to get my passport, my school had to go to bat for me again and say, yeah, she really was here. Okay, so basically I just wanted to know, and that's when I found out I graduated like Goldie Hawn in that movie, graduated in top, bottom third of my class.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my big question is the fact that I have, I go through the house doing my daily chores every day, and I listen to GCN, and I hear the news, IRN news, and there has been a Kentucky senator or governor or something that has not been wanting to pass the new unemployment thing.
Yeah, so, he's been blocking it, but I think they made some kind of a deal.
They did, because I heard it on IRN just before your show, and they called it a road funding thing instead of unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that kind of like deceiving people?
Well, yeah, and you know, it probably was put in as a rider on the other bill in order to get it. And yeah, it's kind of a little, it's dishonest. It's definitely dishonest. What can I tell you?
Well, that's 2007, okay. I got laid off from my job because, you know, basically we were out. And, you know, I got my unemployment and stuff. And then in 2009, they had extended the unemployment thing. And mm-hmm. one of the questions which scared me, I hung up the phone, was, are you willing to take a government job at the same pay and same hours as what you were previously earning? And I hung up the phone because I didn't know what the government job would be. So it kind
well,
of,
yeah, you could wind up, you know, driving a truck over there in Iraq. Okay, well, you know, it's...
I was just thinking about the deception. I mean, people, they listen to that, and then they, you know, they're not hearing the fact that it was the unemployment thing. They're hearing road funding.
Well, yeah, they're not. And the other problem is, you know, they're trying to keep the unemployment numbers down by creating all kinds of nonsense, pointless jobs as well. I mean, I had to go down to the airport this morning, and we got run. My wife is heading for a convention to sell some of her music, we hope. And, she got run through the agricultural inspection twice because we went through it to get into the gate area, the terminal area, and they put a colored sticker on there. And then we walked down to her airline, and they said, oh, no, that's the wrong color sticker. You've got to go back and go through that agricultural check. Same exact machine, same exact procedure, but now we got a different colored sticker on. I mean, it's completely ridiculous over there. I mean, that's what all of this TSA and groping and fondling is all about. It's a jobs program. They're not really saving us from Osama bin Laden, who's been dead and buried in so long, he doesn't even stink anymore. It's it's another way of creating jobs and paying them taxpayer funds, and so they can say, oh, we're fixing unemployment.
But don't you think that sometimes, you know, that like that road funding, it should be made, you know that it was.
Oh, I agree with you. The bill should be what they're for. But you know, you go up and look at the Congress, and you see all these bills for blah 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 and other purposes. And the other purposes are where they stick all the pork and all the corruption and all the funding. It's why the president should have a line item veto, I feel. And second of all, we should have a constitutional amendment that says every bill is only there to deal with one issue, and you're not allowed to attach riders to it anymore because that's what corrupted the system. Anyway, Kay, you're right. I agree with you. But it is the way it is, and we've got to live with it until it falls apart and collapses. And we need to start thinking about what we're going to do for the next government of this land and learn from the mistakes that we made. Okay, I got to let you go.
Real quick,
got to be fast.
The end of the movie Protocol, that when Goldie Hawn saw We the People, and she realized that she is We the People.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we all need to realize. We are the people.
We should be watching the government.
No matter where we graduated from in our class.
We should be watching the government. They're supposed to be working for us. We're their employers. They work for us. We should be watching them, and we should fire them when they're not doing the job they're supposed to be doing, which is certainly right now. Kay, we got to
really
let you go.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Richard in Washington. Aloha, Richard. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Rivero? I just wanted to bring something up to you that I thought would have made it to you across your radar. I wanted to read this article here from my local paper called the Tri-City Herald. This is in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
What it is I-960 was a voter-approved measure to basically, here, I'll just read the article here for you. I'm a little nervous and first-time caller. Legislative budget writers and government Chris Gregoire want to employ a mix of spending cuts, tax increases, one-time fixes to fill a $2.8 billion deficit, which is the gap between state expenses and expected tax collections through June 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But Initiative 960, approved in 2001, requires two-thirds approval from legislators to raise taxes, a significant hurdle compared to the simple majority needed to pass other measures. Lawmakers can amend initiatives with simple majority of vote after they've seen on the books for 2 years, making this the first legislative session that Democrats can suspend I-960 with their current majorities. The I-960 suspension passed the House on a 51-47 vote late Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it comes to me that, you know, voters can improve initiatives to prevent, you know, your state government from raising taxes, but they just come back along and suspend it.
Oh, that's exactly
so,
right.
I mean,
we saw that in California a lot, where we passed all these initiatives about, you know, tax money for illegal aliens, raising of property taxes. And, yeah, we passed the initiatives. We're expressing the will of the people. And then they go to court, or they invoke a rule, and they basically turn it around. And what this means is we have taxation without representation. They're not listening to the people. We keep saying no more taxes, and they ignore us. We keep saying don't give any more of our tax money to Wall Street. They ignored that. We keep saying end the wars. They're not listening to us. It is taxation without representation. And in that school that I went to, in New England farming country, where we learned about how all of our ancestors had kicked the British out in 1776, we were taught that taxation without representation is a legitimate reason for firing the government. We're there right now. The government isn't listening. All they can think of is, oh, we need more money. How do we get it? Well, the only way government ever gets money, they take it from the people. And we've run out. We don't have any more money for them to take. The bankers created a system called the Federal Reserve that was designed to take all the wealth from the country and put it in their pockets. And it succeeded. And they didn't plan what they were going to do when that happened. And that's why the system is breaking down.
Well, hey, I just wanted to thank you for your time. I wanted to bring that to your attention. Obviously, you know of other measures like this that have gotten suspended. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
you know, the will.
I didn't know. So,
the will of the people is the will of the people is immediately thrown in the trash can if it gets in the way of grabbing more of your money, and that's
you know,
really what we've come down to.
The purpose of voting. I don't know. It's frustrating, but yeah, I like your show a lot, Mike Rovere. I've been listening to you for about 6 months now, and you're doing a great job. And I just wanted to call in and let the listeners know about what's going on here in Washington. And you have a great day.
Well, thank you very much for that phone call. Thank you very much for the information. And yeah, absolutely, we see it time and time again, where the American people will go through the authorized process for ballot initiative to put what they want on the ballot. And when it gets passed, the government will kind of do a yes and no and maybe on it, but when push comes to shove, they'll say, well, we're the government. We know better than the people what is best for the state, meaning what's best for themselves. We saw it in California. The Californians passed a ballot initiative to basically say no more increase in taxes. How did Arnold Schwarzenegger deal with the economic disaster in California created by the Enron debacle? He raised taxes. Folks, we're at that point. The government isn't listening to us anymore. Their only interest in this is kids for soldiers and money for their pockets. That's where we are. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And the money grab is on. It is just getting insane out there. Philadelphia is just now passing more taxes, new taxes on soda pop and trash collection. New taxes on top of everything. Taxes on the taxes on the taxes. Government cannot create wealth. Government cannot create prosperity. All government can do is take money from one group of people and give it to another group of people and call it progress. Right now, our entire national economy is a boat with 10 holes in the bottom. There are only 5 corks, and the government keeps yanking the cork out of one hole and shoving it into another hole in front of the cameras in an election year and say, see, I'm fixing the problem. But they're not, really. They're just thrashing around and trying to look good for the cameras because that's all they know how to do. And people are beginning to see through it. Even the corporate media is starting to go through that whole throat-clearing kind of thing. Headline story, unemployment rate falls in January, where they're talking about, Labor Department is saying, hey, things are looking up. But economists and labor market analysts are saying it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The problem is far worse. The government, they're not using the word lie. They're saying our gripe about the numbers is it leaves out broad swaths of unemployed people in the country. And this isn't some fringe conspiracy nut job website like WhatReallyHappened.com reporting this. This is ABC, the American Broad Corp Inc. Castration. And they're just saying, we're not sure we can trust the government's numbers anymore. And that's absolutely true. They can't. When you know the corporate media begins to desert the propaganda, it's reached the point of, unbelievability. Now, the reality is unemployment's bad. It's above 20%. Some people are saying it's getting close to 40%. It's gone beyond the worst that we saw during the Great Depression of the 1929-1930s. This is the really Great Depression we're in right now. We're going to call the last one the not-so-great depression. This is the really Great Depression we're in right now. Mass layoffs increased in January. Now, a mass layoff is defined as a company letting go 50 or more people at the same time. And it's usually an indication of a major downsizing or simply going out of business. That's increasing. That increased in January. Now, here's the part that is really annoying. IBM has already laid off something like 10,000 jobs, and now they're talking about another 5,000. What's going on here? They're offshoring. And can you imagine being somebody who's spent their entire life working at IBM, trying to make them a major company, and all of a sudden you get a memo, we require you to train your replacement, who's going to be working in India or someplace like that. Now, Barack Obama, when he was running for president, said he was going to do a whole bunch of things we wanted to have done. He's going to end the wars. That hasn't happened. Going to end the torture. That hasn't happened. We wanted him to tar and feathers and hang the war criminals who lied us into these wars. That hasn't happened either. But he said he was going to reverse the offshoring problem. He was going to change the tax credits and the laws to make it financially advantageous to create new jobs here in the United States of America. That hasn't happened. The offshoring is continuing. We're hemorrhaging jobs to other countries at a time when the state governments are running out of money, the federal government's so deeply in debt. The bottom line is they're never going to get out. They have to collapse. It's just a question of when. And the offshoring continues to go on. The U.S. Post Office is looking at needing to lose another 30,000 jobs. They're running that deeply in the red. More consumers are filing for bankruptcy protection, up 14% in February compared to a year earlier. The economy is not getting better. It's getting worse. More people are in bankruptcy. More businesses going out of business. And all we hear from the government is we've got to raise taxes or create new taxes, and we've got to cut services. Every time you get these legislators up there saying, well, we've got to tighten our budgets, they never volunteer to take a pay cut. They never volunteer to say maybe we should cut the size of the legislature in half. They're cutting the people who do the services we pay taxes for, fixing the roads, inspecting the bridges, getting rid of the dead trash, teaching our children. That's where the cuts are happening. Where we need, they're cutting what we need, what we expect to get for the tax money. They're keeping their jobs and their perks. Nancy Pelosi gets to fly around the country in a 757 at taxpayer expense. Why not cut the budgets for the bailouts? Why not cut the budgets for the wars? 50 cents of every federal tax dollar, at least, is going to the Department of Offense. Let's not call them a Department of Defense. Nobody has really attacked this country since the Civil War. It is a Department of Offense. is a department of invasion. It is a department of conquest. It's a department of let's go into somebody else's country and steal their resources for American corporations. That's what they're really doing. It's ludicrous to call it a Department of Defense. We have got a nation full of nuclear missiles in the silos, in the submarines, in the bombers, in the missiles. Nobody is going to attack us. The only reason to have a Pentagon and a conventional warfighting capability is to go into other countries and steal their wealth. That's what's going on here. Our government leaders are cutting everything except the war machine. We're on a full war footing. We are there already. Every little bit of wealth in this country is going to the war machine to fight the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan and Yemen and Somalia and getting ready to go into Iran. We're in a new world war, and the United States started it. And we're going to lose. I get all this hate mail all the time saying, why don't you go and live in Iran if you think they're all that great? I don't give a darn about Iran. I really don't. I don't give a darn about Ahmadinejad and their power station. My first priority is the United States of America. I put America first, second, and third. And my concern about getting into a new global war is that we're going to lose it. We don't have the manufacturing capacity to sustain the material production it takes to fight and win a prolonged ground war. We don't have the economic might to back up that kind of productivity. And when we get stuck in these wars and we realize that we're not going to be able to win using conventional means, somebody's going to turn the little brass key inside the missile silos, inside the submarine, up in the stealth bomber, and that's when things are going to get really, really unpleasant. Because look at these sociopaths we have in government. It's estimated 4% of the American population are sociopaths. And when it, and rather than admit they had lost the war they created, they'll go nuclear. They won't hesitate. They've got their shelters. They've been building for the last 10 years these underground emergency command posts that will withstand a direct nuclear strike. We have one here in the middle of the H3. The tunnel goes through the Ko'olau Mountains. Huge complex. It's got signs on it that say it's the State Department of Transportation. Yeah, they spent billions of dollars tunneling into solid rock with the consistency of poured concrete to build a few garages for transportation trucks. Nobody around here believes that. They built one underneath the northeast corner of Griffith Park right after the Northridge earthquake. All the FEMA money that came in, none of it went out to the people damaged by the quake. It was all spent on a new emergency command post that's designed to withstand a nuclear strike. All over this country, they have been building these underground command posts, bomb shelters. You won't get it to go into them. You know, you paid for them. We've all been paying for them. You won't get to go in there. The elites will go in there. The government will go in there. Mount Weather or the Greenville or any of these other super secret government continuity centers, they call them. All the politicians will get in there. The president will get in there. The Congress will get in there. And their lackeys and their young girls and their young boys and all the other fluffy stuff. The rest of us will be stuck out here. We'll pay for the mistakes that they made. It's just really bad. All right, we're going to take a break for news and commercials. I'm going to calm down and get some water, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned and aloha.
The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show today. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got Alan in Germany. V. Gates is CNN. And what's on your mind?
Yeah. The thing I want to talk about today is the Operation Ore. You remember Operation Ore back in 1999? It was about people downloading child pornography. Okay, 3,000 people were interviewed by the FBI, including lawyers, politicians. The guy from The Who, what's his name? Pete Townsend was on the front page of the paper.
I remember Pete Townsend getting caught up in this.
Who were arrested. I've got a list of the names now, because I worked in the media for 10 years, and I've got a very well-placed friends. I know exactly who the politicians who downloaded the child pornography. I'm not going to say their names, actually, because, you know, I've been threatened, weirdly.
Yes.
But David Icke apparently hasn't been threatened, or he has. If you go to davidicke.com, you can find out the names of the politicians who downloaded child pornography under Operation Or. And it's quite shocking, really.
Let me ask you a question, because every time I hear about one of these operations, and, you know, we had a scandal here in the United States, the Franklin scandal, that involved underage boys, you know, in the White House for sexual purposes and everything.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, of course.
But when they have a sting operation where you're downloading the child porn, where do they get the child porn to begin with? I mean, there's kind of an issue. Aren't these people setting up these websites? Aren't they
indeed.
Guilty
and
of
they
trafficking?
Were actually kidnapping children, and that's where it came from. It was kidnapped children. Yeah, absolutely. This is the source of it. I know what you mean, and this is the source.
Okay.
This is partly it's the Holly Grieg story. Look that up, Holly Grieg. It's been denoticed in England, which means you can't report it in England. All the newspapers in England. Remember, I worked in the media for 10 years. I've got friends who told me it's denoticed.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They can't publish it in England, but people have been children have been taken away from their parents under if the parents have been slightly shitty, then their kids are taken away, and those children are then used.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were seeing here in the United States as well.
But now we have the names. I have the names of them, and they include extremely senior people. And I've had this confirmed, not only by people in the media, but by friends. For example, I have friends in the Freemasons.
Okay, Alan, we will check it out. I'll go over to the website, and we will check it out here. And thank you very much, but you know, you've already said all of this once before, and we understand this is a problem, and we know it's a scandal in Great Britain and in the United States, and, you know, I still don't understand how these people are wired where this is something that they're going to enjoy anyway, or maybe this is some kind of ritual they have to go through where, you know, once you do it, you are blackmailable and controllable and therefore safe to promote to the higher reaches of our society. Maybe it's just that simple. We talk about these places like the Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, and maybe the whole point is that part of the initiation is that you do something that is so nasty that you can be blackmailed with it for the rest of your life, and therefore you become a trusted part of the power structure. Kind of odd, but you know, something to think about. All right, moving on to some other stories here, and I think that clears our phone boards right now. A couple of stories right here in Hawaii. First of all, as for those of you who have been following it, there is the Akaka bill going before the House of Representatives. Actually, it passed the House of Representatives. It's called the Native Hawaiian Government Reorganization Act, also known as the Akaka Bill. I think this is kind of a poor compromise for the Native Hawaiian people to do, but basically they're attempting to redress the fact that the U.S. government stole Hawaii from its indigenous people and has admitted, it was illegal. We're sorry. Hey, you don't get it back, but we feel really, really bad about all this. And so they're basically creating, they're treating the Native Hawaiian people like any other indigenous people. They're now basically being treated the way we treat the Native Americans on the reservations. And having seen some of the reservations close up, this is why I don't think it's such a great deal for the people of Hawaii. But this seems to be the compromise position. What was interesting, though, is that there was a commentary piece about Congress trying to break Hawaii in two, where this guy is going on saying, you're creating two Hawaiis, and this is a bad thing, and he's opposed to it. Well, the only other solution is let's give it all back to the Hawaiian people. Because the bottom line is the U.S. government has admitted breaking the law repeatedly, breaking treaty obligations in order to basically steal Hawaii away from its indigenous people. And we have an article about it called Hawaii is Not Really a State. And the same thing applies to several other states. Alaska, same thing. The Texas statehood is of dubious legality. California statehood is of dubious legality. What we all know to be true today, Congress will break its own rules and its own laws. That's how we got the Federal Reserve Act. And even the Supreme Court has basically come out and said that Congress could not simply annex Texas and turn it into a state, as they did. But, of course, as Judge James C. Fox pointed out relative to the 16th Amendment, hey, we're just going to pretend that's what it is because we can't go back and fix it now. But I think if the federal government is going to collapse, I think a very real possibility would be for Hawaii to split off and become a republic again. And certainly without that huge federal deficit weighing us down, I think this state would be better off as an independent republic. I really do. Now, meanwhile, and despite the fact that he's a local boy, apparently there's a big debate going on. When Obama was out here over Christmas and the New Year's, two-week holiday, they basically, the Secret Service declared a no-fly zone around the house they had rented in Kailua. And it was a 10-mile area centered on Kailua. This is a small island. Look us up on a map. We're the longest state in the union because our state lines go all the way out to Midway Island. But this island that we're on, Oahu, is a little tiny island. And the no-fly zone they put up to keep people away from President Obama basically meant that a lot of the tourist operations could not run for about 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks of lost income. They couldn't run air tours. They couldn't run flight instruction. All of that was shut down in all of the airports on that half of the island. 10 mile, that covers a big chunk of the island. So they're basically saying that the White House has to compensate them for the loss of business. And that's going to turn into a really, really ugly kind of debate here. All right, I want to talk about the Yellowstone caldera. As you heard on the news break, they've had another small earthquake. And, I'm sorry, we've got a caller on the line. We've got John in Virginia. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Hi, Michael. Is it okay to speak about an AM radio talk show host?
Well, of course.
Oh.
If it's Rush Limbaugh, we're going to make fun of him.
Well, yeah, I horribly. I have to listen to him once in a while just to hear the opposition of, well, there's no opposition anymore other than freedom. You know, I heard that Tom Hartman was going to be on this local radio show today, and I had a golden opportunity to give the local station a call. And I was able to ask Tom Hartman why he is not more of a champion of freedom of speech in light of the recent paper, 29-page paper written by Cass Sunstein, Harvard law professor, mm-hmm. where he advocates infiltrating groups, maybe making conspiracy theorizing illegal and things like this. And Tom Hartman guessed that I hadn't read the paper, which I couldn't imagine a weaker argument. But it was shocking to me. I mean, you know, he went off. He started talking over me while I was on the radio, and I don't know. It was really funny in a way to me. But I'm sure you know about that paper by Cass Sunstein.
Oh yeah, we've been talking about that for quite some time. We've had some of Cass Sunstein's hired drones calling into this show and causing problems. Not this week, but last week.
I've heard some of them.
Yes.
You know, I think that's just a credit to you, because all that tells me is that you're making a huge impact, and now they're starting to get a little bit frightened.
Yeah, you know, it's a jobs program. I mean, these are the guys who couldn't get a job at the McDonald's restaurant, so they hire them to call radio shows and cause trouble. Stick with us through the commercials. John, we're going to bring you back on for the next segment for a wrap-up, okay? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And, John, yeah, the whole point of this Cass Sunstein document, the government is trying to find some way to sell you all on the idea that we're all going to have freedom of speech and freedom of ideas, but somehow any media that is not under the direct control of the government is a threat to our national security. And they're trying to find a very covert way to do that because they understand they're dealing with a public which has lost all trust and faith in the government and in the corporate media. They're leaving the corporate media. I mean, ABC is basically shutting down all their bureaus except the one in Washington, D.C., citing economic reasons. Personally, I think they're just doing it because all they ever do is read the government's talking points anyway. But that's the reality. And the Cass Sunstein and his people have realized there's no magic wand that they can wave that is going to make the American people trust the government and trust the corporate media. So the only thing they can do is either find a way to discredit or silence the alternative media. And I think the ClimateGate was a wake-up call for all of them. Up until the Copenhagen conference, I think that the inner circle of the government and the boardrooms and all the corporate media were still living in that Cold War dream world of the 1960s where they still truly believed that if they just spent enough money and got enough really good-looking talking heads to tell us the idea, that they could still sell us anything, any snake oil at all, new war, new taxes, whatever. And I think the backlash against ClimateGate was a wake-up call. And now they understand they've lost control of the minds of America. And that's a very dangerous situation to face when you're trying to start a whole new war. And so they're desperate to try and find some way they can shut down the net or ridicule it. And that's Cass Sunstein's document. If you really get past all the flowy language, it's really all about finding some way to silence points of view that the government do not approve of.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you said, you know, the talking heads, the good-looking talking heads. There's a talking head on AM here in Charlottesville, unfortunately, home of Thomas Jefferson. Laura Ingraham, the other day, I heard her speaking about this health care issue, which I consider a facade. You know, they're bantering this around, and the left beats up the right beats up the left, while the wars continue in the background. And Laura Ingraham was laughing and joking, and this was the most horrible thing I'd heard, about they had Democratic senators had gotten up there, and they were talking about these horror stories of people who the insurance companies wouldn't pay up when they had to. One person's face was burned having a surgery done, the insurance company. One lady was wearing her dead sister's dentures because she couldn't afford health care and all this. And the approach that the quote, right, you know, whatever you want to call it. But Laura Ingraham was laughing about this, ridiculing this person because they needed to wear her dead sister's teeth. And it was just so horrible to me that we have all this money for all these wars and to attack Iran. I mean, just examine the mountains over there, obviously. But here we have people who don't have the teeth to chew food. And
well, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, one common behavior you'll see of the super rich, and maybe it's a defense mechanism against feeling guilty over their lifestyle. I mean, the super rich, they understand right from the start, the only way they get rich is they're taking money away from other people. And in a nation with limited economic resources, that very often means leaving people to starve, to lose their homes, to lose their businesses. And so after a while, you get a couple of defense mechanisms. And one is that the very rich tend to become very religious. And virtually every one of their religion contains some variation of the idea that wealth is the sign of God's favor. That God wanted you to have the money. They're sinners. That's why you get the money, because you're a good person and you never sin.
Yeah,
or at least you go
one.
In and yeah. But hang on, John. I wasn't done.
Okay.
The problem here, another of the defense mechanisms, is that the very rich will view the very poor as clearly inferior human beings by virtue of the poverty. Andrew Carnegie, even ventured that the very wealthy were a separate species of humans and naturally superior along the lines of Nietzsche's Superman, and that therefore the poor, you know, shouldn't be considered on an equal par. And therefore, it was permissible to send them out to fight and die in wars and to say, well, we only need to teach them as much as they need to be trained monkeys in the factories. That really was the attitude problem. Now, please go on with what you were saying.
Oh, okay. It's not, I don't know if it's full duplex. There's one thing that I've heard people talk about is, well, you know, these interest rates we have in this country, you know, somebody lends you money and, you know, they're entitled to a certain amount of interest on that money and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the theory.
And he's ultra rich. The problem is, and I don't know if you're a fan of the creature from Jekyll Island, but
yes.
The problem with the amount of interest they're charging in any percentage rate is that they never worked for the money that they're lending because they created it out of nothing.
That's the trap of it. And as I pointed out, the you know, when the United States was started, and we had this very revolutionary idea of having the government issue the currency for public usage free of charge, that was a threat to all the banking families of Europe. They absolutely hated that idea. But it's what made the United States prosperous. Almost overnight, the American people had a high standard of living because there was enough money where everybody was employed, there was enough money where everybody could have a business, and everybody was doing very well. And the banks were kind of a little side thing. You could take advantage of them. You could put your money there for a deposit, and they could loan it out at interest, and they would make their money off the straddle between the interest paid and the interest charged. And the interest they were charging, because they were not a central part of the economy. Most of the economy was cash and carry. The interest they charged was covered by the profit of business enterprise, okay? And it was tolerable and survivable because the money itself wasn't owned by the bank and wasn't generating interest. With the Federal Reserve System, its trap is that because all the money in circulation is the product of a loan from that central bank system, the instant the first Federal Reserve note goes into circulation, more money is owed to the bank than is actually in existence. And that's the trap. As long as you can always find an ever wider pool of borrowers to borrow new money, to create new money, to pay the interest on the old money, the system will keep working. But it's a pyramid, because when you reach that maximum population saturation of borrowers and you can't justify the creation of new money, then all of a sudden the pyramid starts to collapse, which is what we're in right now. The government tried to do more borrowing on our behalf. That's what TARP and the bailouts were all about. But it's not a solution. It merely delayed the crash into somebody else's term in office.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, are you familiar with the War Powers Resolution of 1973, where they, you know, about, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but about basically forfeiting the ability, I don't even know if forfeit's the right word, but for the president to engage in these military adventures.
Okay, well, under the War Powers Act, and actually, hold that thought, we got to take a break. We'll be back after these commercials, and we'll talk about that.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just trash yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, to get back to the War Powers Act, when the United States was first formed, the Constitution states quite clearly that only the Congress has the power to declare war. It has to be voted on because war is a very serious situation. But that was back at a time when communication was by sailing ship and wars took a very long time to get started. In the modern age, where wars are happening all over the world and communication was almost instantaneous, it was decided that the president needed to be able to respond defensively on his own recognizance without waiting for Congress, which could take a long time to come to an agreement. So under the War Powers Act, the president can order the U.S. military, in his role as commander-in-chief, he can order the U.S. military into any part of the world on his own and say, go and beat up on those people for 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, Congress must vote whether or not to continue that military action. So that's the way the rules are supposed to be played. Our presidents don't follow those rules, and neither does Congress. In the run-up to the war in Iraq, Congress basically pre-authorized the war. They passed a bill, the authorization for the use of force in Iraq, where it said basically as soon as the president says it's necessary, this bill goes into effect, and the war is effectively, you know, underway. Although they didn't call it a war, they called it use of military force. Of course, the problem with that is that when President Bush activated the authorization for the use of military force in Iraq, he lied in the letter of transmittal. So technically, legally, the authorization for the use of force was not in effect, because if the president lied in activating it, then it's not legal. And so my opinion is that you and I and the other 300 million Americans should not be paying the cost of the war in Iraq. That's a private little war that Bush started himself. He should pay for it. Don't worry, the Bush family's got a lot of money. And more than that, the Bush family should be reimbursing the U.S. Treasury for the use of all those military assets, not to mention civil damages for the parents of every dead American soldier. But basically, that's the way the War Powers Act operates. The president can say go for 30 days. After that, Congress has to say continue or not.
Yeah. You know, Mike, that's another thing about that War Powers resolution. Dennis Kucinich, I don't consider myself a Democrat or a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself an advocate of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution.
Me
and
too.
Dennis Kucinich,
I'm a paleocon.
A what?
A paleocon. Okay, go on.
Oh, man, I didn't hear that one yet. But, you know, he's a Democrat. He's putting this thing out there. I've had so many of my friends tell me about this thing, and finally I took a look at it. And really, that's the so-called purse strings. And if the problem, it seems, is that in our environment where there's such a stranglehold on this corporate media, it's more of a propaganda challenge than actually getting the job done, because the Congress, or House of Representatives specifically, seems too afraid to do anything because they seem to be, quote, not supporting the troops. And
well, that's a common hammer, but the real issue is that the U.S. Congress, like the president, is bought and paid for by AIPAC. And, you know, that's why we're seeing even the commercials. It's so obvious and blatant. They're screaming about who's a friend for Israel and who isn't. And as I said on the show, I think it was on Saturday, if I remember correctly, I said it shouldn't even be an issue. In an American election, we should be talking about who's best friends with Americans. And, you know, I mean, our country has been sold out to Israel. Israel took all this money from the American taxpayer. They funneled some of it back to Congress in this gigantic kickback scheme called AIPAC. And AIPAC makes sure that Congress is always filled with more congressmen who will vote to send more of your money to Israel every single year, even though it is a criminal offense to do so.
Yeah. It's so obvious, too, if you listen to the AM radio shills. You've got Glenn Beck, you've got mm-hmm. Tom Hartman, you've got mm-hmm. Laura Ingraham, you've got mm-hmm. Randy Rhodes. There's one thing they all have in common. They all love Israel.
Yes, that's absolutely right. You're not allowed to be on AM radio unless you love Israel. You know, the alternative media out here, the little Part 15 stations here, may be the only exception. But on the big corporate media, absolutely. There is nobody allowed to be there who's critical of Israel.
Yeah.
And, you know, Israel just got used to this idea that they controlled all the media and they could go drop phosphorus on the kids in Gaza and nobody would say anything. Now they're beginning to understand they don't have that anymore. And the corporate media is losing their audience, and they're coming over here to me and Alex Jones and all these other people out here who are basically talking about the truth of what's really going on in our world.
Yes. Michael, I want to say one final thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to applaud you for this. I listened to a discussion with you and Alex Jones, and the discussion went on. It was a five-segment discussion that I listened to on one of these. It wasn't YouTube, but it was one of these type of video
mm-hmm.
sites. And during that discussion, you guys did not agree on several things. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the specifics, but it mm-hmm. wasn't just one thing. It was at least three. But there were two viewpoints there. But you agreed on this, you agreed on that, but you didn't agree on this, you didn't agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was the real value of that conversation, is that I saw disagreement there, and that, to me, means that we're closer to the truth, because none of us knows everything.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, but the important thing to remember is that all of us, we're sharing the same path towards restoring the republic or finding a better world, and we're on that same path, and some of us occasionally go off down a cul-de-sac. And sometimes I'll go off on a tangent, and sometimes Alex will go off on a tangent. We agree pretty much for most of everything that we talk about. Sometimes I don't agree with him. Sometimes he doesn't agree with me. If Alex Jones agreed with me 100%, I would recommend he seek psychiatric help immediately. So, you know, but I don't expect anybody to agree with me 100%. The whole reason we have a First Amendment is because we understand right from the beginning, nobody's going to agree with everything all the time, but they've got to have their opportunity to get their point of view out there. Only when you get over to issues of Israel is the idea that you must accept the revealed wisdom and never ask any questions. Actually, that's one of two. Global warming has become the other one. You're not allowed to question. The cult leader is always right. You're not allowed to disagree or even think disagreement. But in the real world out here, yeah, the reason we have a First Amendment is because we all have different points of view, and we all have an equal right to get our point of view out there.
Yeah. And, Michael, you need to be re-indoctrinated. It's global climate change now.
That's true. They're trying to rebrand. I refuse to go along with it. It's the global warming cult, and a new fancy label is not going to fool anybody at all.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak in the platform that you've made available.
Okay,
and I wish more people would take that opportunity.
Okay, thanks an awful lot for the phone call, John, and we're going to let you go here. My goodness, the show is almost over. I had so many things to talk about today, but fortunately there's another show tomorrow. And I think what I want to do is, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit of geology. We're going to get away from economics and politics and Israel and the rest of it. But I want to talk a little bit about geology, because there's some interesting things going on. And I'm not sounding a panic, and I'm not asking for grants to study or anything, but I just want to share what my perceptions about the recent seismic activity happen to be. So we're going to, I guess we got about 30 minutes here. Basically, this is all coming out of a story about, is the Yellowstone caldera calling? And it relates to Yellowstone National Park. If you have never been there, please make an effort. Get there. It is one of the wonders of the natural world, and you need to see it. It is an absolutely amazing, amazing place here. So the deal is, it is the remains of an ancient supervolcano, and it's not extinct. And so we need to be taking a look at a far more serious problem than climate change may be unfolding before us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to wander away from politics and economics and religion and Israel and all the rest of it and get into the realm of geology. As you know, we have been experiencing around the world a lot of very intense earthquakes. And in my opinion, and I stress this is my opinion, this all goes back to the Boxing Day quake of 2004. Which was at the western extreme edge of the Pacific plate, tectonic plate system. For those of you who are just catching up on this, the surface of the Earth is covered with these giant floating rafts of rock that float on the molten mantle, and they're called tectonic plates. And some of them form the floors of the ocean, and some of them form the continental land masses. And they're always jostling around with each other, and you've got continental drift and so forth and so on. And they're jammed up against each other. And where the oceans go underneath the land masses are called subduction zones. And they're always grinding and twisting against each other. Well, back in 2004, on December 26th, the western edge of the Pacific Plate had a huge shock. The Boxing Day quake, huge tsunami, a lot of destruction. It was just amazing stuff. And ever since then, watching very carefully the seismicity around the Pacific Ocean, we have seen what appears to be the Pacific Plate kind of sort of readjusting. A lot of pressure was taken off over in the west, and it's like the plate is just kind of like resettling into a new orientation. And we've even heard that the big quake they just had in Chile moved so much of the mass of the Earth that it's actually altered the spin and changed the duration of the day by a very, very tiny infinitesimal amount, detectable with laboratory instruments, but you don't need to go out and buy a new watch or anything like that. So over the last few years, been seeing a pattern where we started to see more seismic events along the west edge of the Pacific Plate, moving northward past the Sea of Japan, down through Malaysia, through New Guinea, Fiji, down past New Zealand. And then for a while we were seeing more and more quakes along the north and south borders of the Pacific Plate, which are relatively unoccupied, so they didn't really generate a lot of news stories. Now we're starting to see the eastern edge of the Pacific Plate kind of work itself through. And we've had the quake in Chile. And just a little while ago, there's a plate that connects to the Pacific Plate called, there's the Nazca Plate, and one other whose name eludes me at the moment. They hook to the Caribbean Plate. And it seems like everything's kind of sort of readjusting from all the seismic activity. And as you heard on the news break going in, they've had another quake on the New Madrid Fault system. And the reason this is a concern is, believe it or not, the biggest earthquake in U.S. history didn't take place along the west coast. It took place along the New Madrid Fault. Major quake. The flow of the Mississippi River reversed. I mean, it was a huge, huge event. Fortunately, at the time, that part of the country was relatively unsettled, and so there wasn't a lot of death, but it was a huge, huge, massive event. Now, what does this have to do with Yellowstone National Park? Yellowstone National Park is the current state of a massive supervolcano. Supervolcanoes are volcanoes that when they erupt so much, they blow their own cinder cones away. And you get a caldera, and the caldera will fill in. And it's just now being recognized that there are the remains of supervolcanoes all over planet Earth. Toba, down in Indonesia, is a good example. 60 miles long at its longest point. And Yellowstone, as seen from space, is a set of three overlapping calderas from three massive eruptions of this supervolcano that occur at regular intervals in the geological record, and according to geologists, we're kind of overdue for the next one. So the reason I'm bringing this up, we're hearing about this new swarm of quakes that began at Yellowstone, and we do get them from time to time. It is a seismically active area. But the reason we want to keep an eye on this, and I'm not saying panic, and I'm not asking for a volcano tax like Al Gore would, and I'm not screaming about dying polar bears or anything like that, but we do need to keep an eye on this for a very simple reason. The Pacific Ocean Plate, as it comes in toward California, it bends down into the earth, but it keeps going towards the east. We now know from sound profiles underneath Yellowstone that the magma chamber underneath Yellowstone is a lot larger than they previously thought. It goes down hundreds of miles, and it goes toward the west. Now, it used to be that Yellowstone was thought to be a hotspot volcano. A volcano just forms out of a spot that happens to be hot on the Earth's surface, like we have here in Hawaii. We don't have major fault zones. We don't have a subduction zone. The Hawaii volcano is the result of a hot spot underneath the crust of the Earth, and as the Pacific Plate moves over it, it pops up a chain of volcanoes, which is why the Hawaiian Islands are this long chain of islands from Midway all the way out in the west down here to the Big Island and the new one that's forming still underwater, Lauihi. That's a hot spot volcano. It was thought that Yellowstone supervolcano was a hotspot. Maybe it is, But given that its magma chamber is now known to be heading down toward the west and the subduction plate is coming to the east, it's entirely possible that Yellowstone is, in fact, a subduction volcano, just a very large one with a very long path for the magma to go. But whether it's a subduction volcano or a hotspot volcano, the fact is that, like all supervolcanoes, the lava contains vast amounts of dissolved gases in suspension, like carbon dioxide. And if you take a warm glass of soda that's sitting there on the shelf and it's not really doing much of anything because the carbon dioxide that's in the liquid is in what's called a dynamic suspension, dynamically stable. There's enough pressure to hold it where it is, and it'll fizz a little bit, but no big deal. But if you take that warm soda and you give it a good thump, it's going to start fizzing like crazy. And so the reason I think we need to be paying attention to Yellowstone, very simply, now that we're getting these really big quakes down in Chile, if this Pacific plate is in fact still readjusting from the Boxing Day quake in 2004, we can expect to see some major seismic events along the west coast of the United States. And if we get a really good wallop right across there from the Yellowstone supervolcano, we could see an eruption occur there as well. And that is my concern. And again, you know, this is theory on my part, and I'm not asking for grants to go and study it, but it's just something for people living in that part of the world to be thinking about and make the appropriate precautions. All righty then, we're almost to the end of the show. As I mentioned earlier in the program, ABC is closing all of their news bureaus across the country, except for the one in Washington, D.C. And, again, you know, they're citing economics and, of course, the fact that ABC doesn't really report much of anything other than government talking point handouts anyway. I did want to spend a little time, now we're going to get away from that. Let's see. We've got time for one more story. I had a lot of stuff on Climategate. We talked about Africa. We talked about the anthrax case. My goodness here. Oh, here's a good one. I love this one. Homeland Security. Department of Homeland Security, your tax dollars at work. Over the last fiscal year, lost 1,000 computers, more than 1,000 computers. So if you're looking for some really good deals on very expensive government-issue ruggedized laptop computers, head on over to eBay. They're probably surfacing there. And, you know, it's amazing how reckless they are. You know, from the point of view of the government, the money is unending. It just flows from the taxpayer and into their pockets, and they lose things. They just lose things. 1,000 computers. 1,000 computers. My goodness. Hawaii School Board finds another $37 million to cut from the budget. We were talking about that. And meanwhile, we ran this one story. This is kind of interesting. You know, you'd think with their limited resources, our schools would be teaching our children to read, write, do math and science and engineering, the things that might help us recapture some part of the world's high technology market. But no, apparently these schools in Pine View School are spending all of their time recreating the Berlin Wall and how bad the communists were and how great the freedom-loving peoples of the West are. They're not education centers. They're indoctrination centers. And frankly, if that's what they're going to do with our kids, let's cut their budgets and fire all the teachers and go back to homeschooling. That's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, hump day at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. So until then, stay safe, stay angry, stay skeptical, and aloha, America.